Please turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 29. Genesis chapter 29. And we'll begin at verse 30. Genesis chapter 29, and beginning at verse 30. We talked about on this morning, we talked about patience. It's not how fast, it's not how long, but it is the quality of a thing. It is how real something is. And so there are a lot of things in life you can get real fast. There are some things in life that you can have for a long period of time. But just because you can get it real fast doesn't mean that you'll be satisfied. And just because you can hold on to it for a long time, matter of fact, I know some who are so focused on the title, on having a title, they don't realize that they're prepared and ready. The worst thing to do is to hurry up and be a police officer. You want to be a police officer so bad, and you did the rush course, and now they shooting and you crying behind because you realize you ain't ready. You got it real fast, but you one of the worst things you want to do is a rush and be a doctor. And you in surgery saying, I didn't read this chapter. What was this? I don't know what to cut on. That's the worst thing to do, is to rush to get a title and say, I have somebody. And do you know what the majority of people think when they realize that you have some? Do you know the majority of people don't care? You can get up on the bottom of a mountain and say, hey, y'all, I got some. Hey, wonder, great for you. Wonder, I got other stuff that I need to do. Do you know the majority of people don't care? There are very few people who actually even love you. And sometimes we do things so that everybody can see, but who cares? You know, the one of the most liberating things for a Christian is be free. Be free from the judgments of people. Be free from the other thoughts of people. Because one of the worst things to do is to live your life so that everybody can be happy about your situation and you the only one in your situation unhappy. But everybody is so happy. Oh, y'all look good together. And you dating and you, I don't even like, but because everybody feels good. Everybody can feel good about, no, don't move. I like your house. No, don't change. I like your little car. No, don't. I like when people will fall in love with what you have and where you are, and you'll be unhappy. And you'll wake up one day and you realize, I've been living my life because other people feel good about my situation. It's not about how fast. It's not about how fast you can get to a place. It's that when you get there, there's no happiness there. I don't care what you say. Don't you want to be happy? Why are you going to put on a shirt and the shirt don't make you happy? Take it off. Someone say, I hate these jeans. Why? Why are you wearing them? Some people having the, thank you, baby. There's some people that having a mentality that Christianity has no happiness in it. And that's a lie. That is a lie told straight from the bowels of Satan. That you're supposed to walk around this life miserable. I can go through tribulation, but joy is in my spirit. I'm supposed to have some joy. I expect. You don't get what you don't expect. If you don't expect God to move on your behalf, faith is about expectation. Because the substance, faith is the what? Substance of things. I got expectation. I expect to be happy this week. I expect to giggle more than once. I expect to giggle. I expect God to move on my behalf. I expect God to open up some doors. Yes, I do. I expect God to open up some doors. I also expect God to close some doors. I expect God to deliver some things. I expect God to take some things. I'm waiting on him. I expect from God. And when you expect from God, that means you trust in him. And I'm willing to wait because I'm expecting. You remove your expectation when you try to get it fast. The moment you receive something, you stop praying for it. You no longer expect it. And so when we go out on our own to try to get it fast, you went and got something cheap. You stopped your prayers and you communicated to God. You no longer expect anything from him. I said this on last week. There are a lot of people who are not married, but they ain't single. You're not married, but you ain't single at the same time because you got a lot of pots on the stove. So if God was to send someone, you don't have room to focus because you've spread yourself thin entertaining multiple things and multiple people. And so it's not about how fast. Then we talked about on this morning, it's not about how long. It's not about how long. There are some people, and the reason why I'm saying this is so that we can evolve as Christians. There are some people say, I know how to get along and not ruffle the waters. I know what subjects to stay away from. I know what not to say. I know I'm not going to bother you. You don't have to bother me. I know you want this. This is your space. This is my space. You do this, I do that. And year after, do you know it's almost March? Happy New Year. You know it's almost March? Do you know how fast life can go? So it's wonderful to celebrate anniversaries only if they're filled with quality. Sometimes we celebrate just how long a person been in it. But they're sinning. And let me tell you how you're sinning. You're sinning because you're holding on. But the scripture says, whatever you do in word, thought, do all in the name of the, you're not in it in the name of the Lord. You're not giving the best of you. You're doing enough just to get by and hold on. You're doing the bare minimum. When I don't put my whole heart into what I'm doing, I have to answer to God why I held back. If there's a reason why I'm holding back, I need to address why I'm holding back. But if you're going to be in something, you got to give your whole heart to it. Because even if it doesn't work out, your conscience says nobody can ever say I didn't put my whole heart into it. Nobody can ever say I didn't run with all my might. When I tried this Christian thing, I didn't just kind of come to worship and kind of read my Bible and kind of pray. Like when I decided to be a Christian, I decided I'm going to put my whole heart in it. So if I go to eternal damnation and I lose my soul, at least I know I tried and I failed. If you're going to lose your soul, at least go out in the world and wild out to the second degree. Yeah, if you know you're not going to heaven, then get out in that world and give it your best shot. But the worst thing to do is to straddle that fence and you think God don't see you. You know when people are entertaining you. You know when people act. And do you know what we do? Sometimes we let people act. All right, love you. Love you too, bye. Good, all right, okay. You need anything? Yeah. And it's dead. But do you know why you shouldn't fake? Because you teach your children how to lie. And when they grow up and they're sitting in therapy, they say, I never saw it growing up. Because my daddy was like this and my mama was like this. And they didn't really... We knew something. Matter of fact, me and my cousins, we get together and we talk about our uncles and aunties and we see, some of y'all do that too. You see, you can speak into things now. Well, you know, grandma was, because I didn't see it. I saw that growing up, but I didn't know what it was. Come on, y'all had the same color. And then you get older and you say, you know, that's, that, you know, they didn't really. Because you know Uncle had a, you know Uncle had a, you know Auntie, she was, and you see, and you don't realize you're affected by it. You realize, and you know why it's hard to give your whole heart? Because in your mind, you say, I'm not going to give my whole heart if you don't give yours. Now, here's the problem with the institution of marriage. The institution of marriage doesn't allow you to quit. Because God is going to judge you as a husband. God is going to judge you as a wife, not a husband in response to her, not a wife in response to him. He's going to say, hey, listen, you took on the role, not at, also as a Christian, I'm going to judge you by your effort. Now, I gave you gifts and I gave you blessings and you quit because you didn't like what you saw. You don't have the luxury in doing that. I still have to honor my father regardless of what kind of father I think he is. Because remember we talked about a few, I have to honor the seat. And if I disrespect the seat, then God is going to address me because I disrespected the seat that he sat in, even if I may not like the person sitting in the seat. That's the difficult thing. So now Leah is in this relationship and she knows my husband doesn't love me. Now, I'm in this marriage and I'm trying the best that I can. So what am I going to do to try to get my husband to love? Now, it is clear Jacob is in love with another woman. So here's what we understand about marriage. And I said this morning. Marriage doesn't produce love. It only supports it. But if you enter into it with lust or an agenda or on possessions or anything that is carnal, the marriage can't support it. Because it only supports love, but it can't produce love. And it doesn't. Marriage doesn't produce righteousness. Marriage doesn't produce, it doesn't bring good things in. It just supports what is good, right? And it protects what is good. So she is in a marriage, her husband doesn't love her, and so now she's thirsty for love. She's now in pursuit to try to get love. Let's look at Leah and see what she does to try to pursue and get love from a man who never loved her and loves another woman, but now she's connected to him and she's trying to figure out what to do. The Bible says here in verse 31, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened up her womb, but Rachel was barren. First thing that we see, when it is clear and evident, even from God, that woman is not loved. God doesn't deal with her husband. That was a shout. You missed it. You didn't understand. She's in a relationship, and this can go either way, male or female. She's in a relationship, and her spouse is not doing right. God sees she's in a lonely place. She's lonely in marriage because my husband loves somebody else. If you notice in the scriptures, God doesn't deal with Jacob. He sees the situation and he deals with her. So many times we want God to deal with other people, when what you don't realize is that God is working on you. So I don't want to be worked on because I ain't the one not loving me. I'm the one not being loved right. I'm the one that not being treated right. I'm not talked to right. I'm not. God, get that person. And God says, I see your situation, so let me work inside of you. You couldn't see what God did with Leah. You know why? He went inside of Leah and he opened up her womb. Now notice, opening up her womb was a direct connection to her not being loved by her husband. Instead of her sitting down and figuring out what God is doing with me, she's still trying to get love from a man that doesn't love her. The Bible says this, verse 32, and Leah conceived, she bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord have what? The name Reuben means look, pay attention. She has a son, and she calls every time Jacob is going to call his first son, he has to say, look, come here. Anybody saying, look, I'm looking for look. She calls him Luke, look, and the reason why she calls him look, see, because she said, surely the Lord have looked upon my affliction, now therefore will my husband what? This is her personal conversation all by herself. She has nobody to talk to, but this is the conversation she has within herself. I'm now finna give my husband something, and when I give this to him, he will look, see what I'm giving him, and then he will love me. Wrong formula. So sisters, you can't give a man anything and it produces love. If you notice this, Rachel didn't touch him and he was in love. All she had to do was mess with them sheep. Come on. She was at work. He just saw her working and was done. Snuck a kiss. And the Bible said when he snuck a kiss, he what? If you'd have looked at him crying, you know what the world would have said? What did she do to him? She must, and Rachel said, we ain't never been together. I ain't had to give my body for him to cry like he crying right now. I'm just that cold. That's what Leah would have said. I'm just that. I didn't have to give up my body. I didn't have to sell my soul. I didn't have to compromise my beliefs or my faiths to get him to follow after me, because for a man to love you, it is not what you give him. You can give him all the gifts. You can go and get all the gifts in the mall and lay it at his feet. The only thing he may say is, thank you. This a lot. But gifts don't produce love. What you give doesn't produce love. You see that? And so so notice her train of thinking in verse 32. Her train of thinking in verse 32 is, I'm going to give this to him, and he going to love me. Right? Look at verse 33. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord heard that I was what? Because the Lord heard that I was hated, he have therefore given me this son also, and I'm going to call him Simeon. Simeon means, pay attention. Look, pay attention, come here. God knows what I'm going through. God knows my heart and what I want, and I know he's going to give it to me. And so maybe I have this child, and I'm going to give him this child so he can pay attention to me. Maybe if I do this, he'll pay attention. And maybe if I do that, he'll pay attention. Be careful of what you put on the bait, because you got to keep putting it on the bait. If you use your body to get the relationship, you got to have a lifetime membership at Lifetime. There can never be a time where your body just go down, because if your body, that was the hook. You used your body to get it, you're going to have to use your body to what? You're going to have to use your body to keep it. What did Rachel do, and what did she give him for her? He just saw her. He just wanted to be with her. Leah's over there saying, Leah gonna have to keep producing children if that's the thing. That's a long job. That's a hard, long job. Notice, to my calculation, it take 9 months. Between look and pay attention, that's a year and a half or so. For a man to look and pay attention. Jacob, why don't you look and pay attention to me? It's not even about the children. You're trying to use your children to keep him. And he'll stay. But let me tell you also something about this. Children don't produce love either. Children increases obligation and responsibility. So the best that you'll get out of him is obligation and responsibility, but you can't get love out of that. So he'll stay, he'll follow through, and he'll do what he need to do if he's a good man, and he'll do this, but you won't have his heart. So I only want to talk to you about the kids. After the kids, okay, then I'm gone, because my heart actually is somewhere else. My heart is somewhere else. He moves on to verse 34, very quickly, moves on to verse 34. She conceived again and bare a son and said, now this one. Look didn't do it. Look didn't do it. Pay attention. He failed. Pay attention, failed. But this third time, this one, will my husband be what? Because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore, his name is called Levi, means joined unto. To be connected. Oh, this third child, that's what's really going to connect us. The word Levi means to be joined or connected. She's naming her children out of her loneliness and her pain. At the same time, she believes that if I give him children, he'll love me. Can I say this? There will be people who like you. There will be people who enjoy you. And there will be people who may even want to love you. But some people, they just don't love you. I can love you on a God level. But you can't make somebody love you on a romantic level. You can't manufacture it. And be careful, because you'll do what Leah's trying to do and manipulate love. If it's pure, you can't manipulate love. When you really love, 25 years can pass. And you see that person again. Aisle 3, Kroger checkout line. And it burns. You can't control it. Because love, the way God designed love, it is not something that can be manipulated. Because when it's pure, it's pure. When you love somebody, you just love somebody. There are many people, you can love somebody and then not realize it until later. That's a tragedy. Because you know what? You can't make yourself love somebody else romantically. Marriage doesn't have to have love in it, and it can still be pleasing to God. It doesn't have to have love. Because in order to have marriage, you just consummate. Today's time, go ahead and go down to the courthouse, sign a piece of paper, you wait your days, and you marry. Have you sinned? Mm-mm. Do you love each other? Have to love each other. Not on a romantic level. You have to respect each other. Marriage doesn't have to have love in it. Just like a car doesn't have to have gas. But, right? It doesn't have to have gas to be a car, right? It's still a car. It don't have no gas in it, but it's still a car. But why in the world would you want to be in a car that ain't got no gas? Do you know a car don't have to have air conditioning? I know this for a fact. A car don't have to have air conditioning. But ain't the summers hard? I did an event one time with a bunch of church folk. I did an event one time. I'm the preacher. I showed up, but my air conditioner went out. So afterwards, I said, all right, y'all, I'm thinking I'm finna leave early. I didn't know some of them were following after me. We finna hit the same freeway. So this was a few years ago. And so I got in the car. It was hot. It was summertime. It's like July or something. It was so hot. I took my coat off. I took my shirt off. I was sitting here driving. They go pull up side of me and hunt the horn. Brother Williams! I was so embarrassed. I said, oh, well, hey, it's hot. It's hot. Had my little tank top, you know, my beat on, you know, while I was just sweating and trying to make it home. It don't have to have air conditioning. And it don't have to have gas. But why in the world would you want to get in it if it doesn't have it? Maybe the problem, and what we'll talk about further. It's one thing to love and even feel in love, but you can kill love at the same time. It can be killed. You can destroy it and don't even realize you're destroying it by attitudes and spirits and all those different things. She's trying to get it. And can we just conclude at the end of the day, Jacob just doesn't love her. Also, if we study God's move through this whole passage, God keeps giving her children. But he doesn't punish Jacob. You know why he doesn't punish Jacob? Because Jacob is not mistreating her. What is Jacob saying? He has no sin. Do you know he's doing nothing wrong? He's there for her. He goes into the tent every other, you know. He makes sure he fulfills his duty. But other than that, there is no sin. So God doesn't punish Jacob because he didn't do anything wrong. So who is God working on? He's working on her. It was her and her father that came up with the decision to jump over Rachel. So she got it fast. She got it faster than her sister. Her sister had to wait another 7 years for her to be officially with Jacob. So the Bible says this in the last verse, verse 35. We'll close. And she conceived again, and on her fourth child, she said, now, I've been trying for years to get this man to feel this way about me. Sometimes you can lock into what you want, and what you need passes by. Because in your mind, it's supposed to look like this. When you pray to God, God will hear your prayer. God will even answer your prayer. But he won't take the highway that you think he's going to take. And I promise you, it won't come in the package that you think it's going to come in. And the way it's delivered is not the way you drew it out in your head. Now, he heard your prayer. He gonna answer your prayer. The rest of that ain't your business. How he does that is his business. When Israel prayed for deliverance, they didn't think a man named Moses was gonna come with a stick. Say, yeah, I heard some of y'all crying. Y'all need to get out of slavery. Notice how God answered their prayer. Are we leaving today? Oh, no. I'm here to answer your prayer, but you're going to stay here a little while. Some flies are coming. Some frogs are coming. This water got to turn in the blood. The cattle and all of it. Y'all going to have to live in it. death angel coming at the end. For those of you who don't know, that's the plagues. Somebody said, what are you talking about, flies? And you read the story, those were plagues that came over here. Notice, they prayed for deliverance and God sent flies. Sometimes when you pray to God, because you're not willing to be patient, you see the flies and you give up. This crazy going on. Sometimes you can pray to God for something and God will send trouble. And the trouble is actually answering your prayers. But you don't recognize it because it seems, I don't understand what God is doing. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to trust that what he's doing. Have you just realized everything was going well and then all of a sudden some crazy stuff started happening? And you're like, what's going on? All of a sudden, everything starts shifting and people start acting funny and the economy starts acting crazy and people start making certain moves and the neighborhood got a new rate and stuff start happening and raises and decreases and additions and subtractions start happening. And God said, well, let me do what I'm doing. I'm here to answer your prayers. I'm going to take you exactly where you need to go, but it won't look like the way you think it's going. And I'm going to save the whole world. Okay, you're going to save the whole world. How are you going to save it? You see that baby in a pig trough? That when he was born, there was no room for Jesus when he entered into the world? Have you ever thought about that? Jesus came into the world and there was no place? Normally people are hospitable. Even the Good Samaritan said, even the Good Samaritan was able to take the man and put him up in a hotel. But Jesus, the Savior of the world, entered into the world and there's no place for him to be. Jesus was born outside. And you say, God, how are you going to save the whole world? You see that baby outside there in the barn? Yeah, that's how I'm going to do it. It don't look like. So she says, now this time I will praise the what? For the first time, she focuses on her and God. For the first time, she says, I'm going to thank God and praise God. Therefore, I'm going to call his name what? Judah. Judah means to praise. So I'm going to leave you with this thought. What tribe does Jesus come from? Jesus's bloodline comes out of, now I'm going to praise. A whole bunch of stuff has happened before. And she says, now I'm going to praise. Here's her blessing in a loveless marriage. I'm going to put Jesus through you. I'm God, and I'm going to put my son through you. I'm not going to pick Rachel to bear my son. Your gift is that I'm going to preserve you and all your children because I have decided now I'm going to put my son through the tribe of praise. Somebody says, but God, my prayer is I wanted you to make him love me. But you got to realize God's love was greater than the little love Jacob was going to give. Do you know the next chapter, Jacob and Rachel get into a marital fight? And Jacob snaps at Rachel and said, I ain't God. Because Rachel wanted Jacob to give her something only God could. And they're arguing in the other tent. And Leah is praising God in her tent. They're arguing for what Leah has. Because she got the title. And she got the love of him. But she praising God because God has blessed her. This life has trouble in it. And sometimes you have to be able to be spiritually mature enough to realize God has truly blessed you by what he took from you. He truly blessed you by what he kept you from. And so, Leah, it could be you in that tent arguing with him and him fussing back at you. Or we can just praise him right now. Other point that I want to leave you with. How Jacob showed love to Rachel and how he didn't love Leah showed up in the children. Because Joseph comes from Rachel. And the other brothers hated Joseph. Because the father loved Joseph more than the other brothers. So even though technically Jacob didn't sin, when you're not loving right, the children see it and they'll even start hating each other. In the end, God bring that whole thing back together and all the brothers get back to, when you see how God worked through that, he'll bring all of that back together. But if there's anything that you get from this afternoon, stop being a people pleaser. Stop being a clown and trying to get people's attention. Stop trying to make people love you. You know what? There's some people who can leave you. And you ever heard some people say, you're going to miss me when you gone? Not everybody. Watch. When you leave, you're going to see how good you had it. No, not everybody. Some people going to have it better when they leave you. You're not that great. It's not even about you. It's just the idea. Some people don't even recognize they need God and they having a ball out in the world right now. They don't even realize. Everybody doesn't come to the full idea of how great you are, how wonderful you are. But notice, he worked inside of her. Listen, if you don't know how to love yourself, stop inviting people into your world. If you talk negatively about yourself and you put yourself down and you talk about how stupid you are and you're an idiot and how crazy you are and you got negative self-talk, don't invite nobody into your world to hear that mess. If you don't learn to love yourself, if you don't learn to praise God where you are, listen, if you're not happy where you are, a woman ain't gonna make you happy. A man ain't gonna make you happy if you can't be happy where you are. He's just going to come into your happiness and you're going to have an attitude because it took so long. What took you so long? I was waiting to be happy and wait until you get here. What you been doing all this time? God working on me. And sometimes we're waiting on people to do what God is willing to do within us. Some of you may not even realize how good you got it right now. You got it good right now, and God doing some things in you right now, but you so focused on what you don't have, you're killing the joy you're supposed to have in this season and in this moment. So you know what I want you to do? I want you to go throughout the furtherance of this week, and I want you to put a smile on your face for what you do have. I want you to thank God for what he's keeping from you. I want you to rejoice of how he's blessed you just to be able to say thank you even in your trouble or even in the space that you're in. Stop trying to get God to force people to treat you right. Because if it ain't already in you, then notice, my expectation is not in you. My expectation is in God. I expect God to move with me. I don't expect you to act right, because you may never act right. And that's between you and God. But your behavior don't kill my joy. Your behavior doesn't change my happiness. Somebody said, Brother Williams, such and such said that they don't like you. I'm still eating chicken fried steak tonight and Popeyes. Right? Popeyes, yeah. Yeah, it's happening. That's going on tonight. Look at them. They have, yeah, it's going on tonight. It ain't changing nothing. The joy is going to be there tonight. You're not changing my show. Stop giving your strength and your power to people. And you say, my life can't begin until this person does X, Y, and Z. Oh, that's a lie. So life going to begin tonight, right now. And learn to live in Judah. Learn to live in praise. Learn to live in glory. If you're here on this afternoon and you realize, you know what, Brother Williams, my attitude has been all off. I've been angry with people, and I've been blaming people for how I feel. And all them people that you blaming don't know nothing about how you blaming them and don't care. Some people don't care. Matter of fact, you unhappy for everybody in the whole house. And they'll let you stay unhappy. People will let you stay unhappy. But the devil don't like it when you start praising God, because your circumstance should not reflect your behavior. Whatever you focus on, if you're looking back, you're going to go back. If you look down, you're going to go down. But when you look up, you go up. And once you start seeing that God is actually working on you, you delay God's blessing, because you're waiting not on him, you're waiting on people. To wait on God, you move with God when God moves. Remove yourself from being a slave to the behaviors, the facial expressions, the attitudes, and the comments of people, and put your full attention on God and put a smile on your face, because our God is an awesome God. This invitation is given unto you to together stand and sing a verse for us.
Just stand.